IFPRI Policy Seminar, Food Security and Development in the Arab World, in Transition, held on Wednesday, November 7th in Washington, D.C. Speaker, Clemens Breisinger from IFPRI.
Next, Clemens Breisinger is a research fellow in IFPRI's Development Strategy and Governance Division, and he leads the Institute's Middle East and North Africa team. Before focusing on the Arab world, his research at IFPRI covered a broad range of topics such as economic transformation and agriculture, natural resources and development, adaptation to climate change, and impacts of global crises on poverty in Africa and Asia. So now Clemens will join us to talk about his new project.
It's a great pleasure to present to you today the first preview of Arab Spatial Development and Food Security Atlas. Arab Spatial is a joint and a startup initiative of the International Food Policy Research Institute, the International Fund for Agricultural Development, and the Policies, Institutions, and Markets program of the CGIAR. Now let's pull up the first slide. Am I supposed to do this? There is a whole bunch of people who are working very hard on that initiative. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of them. And I'm really looking forward to, some of you are here, some of the people are inside, outside of IFPRI, everywhere. I'm really looking forward to, you know, grow this initiative further over the next few months and years. So now, what are the objectives of Arab Spatial? The first objective is really to improve access to quality information. And Caroline alluded to a lot of issues along those lines. Let me add two examples, which will show you what the necessities really are. So first of all, if we look at poverty estimates in the Arab world, we'll see that only 50% of the countries report poverty in the first place. Second, on the quality, if we look at the Gini coefficients as reported in the WDI database, we'll see that Egypt is one of the most favorable income distribution countries in the world. It's actually the income distribution is more equal than in Switzerland and Belgium. Now, if we talk to many experts, and more importantly, probably, if we go to Egypt and look around, most people would thoroughly disagree with that number. So there's really a strong need to improve access and also the quality of data. Second objective is to support the decision and the policy making process. And here we are aiming at a whole range of people, starting from policymakers to researchers, policy analysts, but also the media and civil society. Now you may say, well, this is very ambitious and that's a broad range, but the plan is, you know, to include a whole range of tools and data that caters to all these groups, studying, you know, accessible information in terms of maps, but then also increasingly complex mapping and analytical tools. So now the other question, of course, is what is special about Arab Spatial? And of course, we think there are quite a few things that are unique. The first is we really look at food security in a broader development context. And let me just draw you very briefly your attention to the food security and development framework developed here at IFPRI. And that really underlies the whole structure of the database that I'll show you in a second. And I will just point to two important features here. First of all, we look at the macro and state level, which includes a lot of the indicators that we had just talked about. From governance to growth, but also like the macro economy side, trade, government budget, public investment, things like that. But then also we look at the micro level, household level, and intra-household distribution. And let me just give you one example of why we think this is so important and how they are linked. You know, there's this critical first 1,000 day in the development of every human being. And there's strong evidence that if we get the nutrition wrong in the first 1,000 days, that will severely affect the future life, the productivity of individuals, and ultimately the development of a country. So it's not only a top-down thing where we say, okay, what does how does macro affect micro? No, it's also the other way around. Some of those bullet points I'll probably show you better in the terms of the maps. But let me just point out to two more things. The first is it's an open access source, so things can be downloaded, data as well as maps. And the second, probably most important point here is it can be easily expanded and updated. So it can really grow and accommodate more data from different organizations and different countries. But now let's jump into the interface. And what I'm planning to do now is to walk you through some of the key features of Arab Spatial. And we will do that clockwise. And if to your left, like in many databases, you see a column with pull-down menus. And here again, you will remember from the framework, the first level is economy and state, and then there's the micro level of population and household welfare. But then there are also, and we heard a lot about that too, a one dimension of external shocks, be it food price shocks, natural disasters, and so on. Then if we move slightly to the right, you'll see a zoom in tool, which I will also demonstrate. Then on the top bar, there's an about page. There you will see the framework. Again, emphasizing that this is not just a list of variables, but they are all interlinked. And I'll also show you how we can actually make that connection physically here in that tool. Then in terms of tools, so far there is a printing option. So whatever the user assembles in terms of data and maps can be printed. There's an export function where people can actually export the underlying data. And as I said, in the future, we are planning to add many more tools. Then there are the base maps. I'll show you. This is just, you know, you can change the background of the maps and so on. Then maybe more importantly, if we look further down, there's a time slider. So a lot of the data is time series data, which is interesting to see developments over time. And then, of course, source and data description and legend. But without further ado, let's take a look at some examples. Now, if, as I said, we are still on our left, we click on economy and state, and then this pull-down menu opens, and you'll see further subcategories under economy and state in the black-gray bar. So there is a couple of variables on the macroeconomy. They are essentially structured along the IMF definition. You know, there are the production and prices. There you have the GDP by sector, CPIs, stuff like that. Then under public finances, you'll have overall expenditure revenue. But then we focus on the important things for food security. And there are the subsidies are included. The social transfers are included, spending on, you know, health, education, all the things that we think are important. And then the external sector, of course. So there, if we think food security and development, total exports for sure, total imports, but then also things like, you know, food exports, food imports, fuel imports, fuel exports, trade balances, stuff like that. Then under the key sectors, there's a whole bunch of information on agriculture, water, energy, trade and transport plays a big role, storage facilities, roads, market access, all kinds of things. And then also governance. And I'm pleased to hear that both of our previous speakers have highlighted that issue. So we have included four governance indicators for now. And what you see here is the doing business indicator in 2011. And now I decided, you know, when I go through all, like, most of the features, but instead of presenting the features always with the same indicator, we jump from, like, different indicators, different backgrounds. That'll give you, like, a dynamic feeling of how things work. Now let's move to the micro dimension, population and household and welfare. And here we have all kind of things related to poverty, malnutrition, health, education, things like that. And now also note, obviously the macroeconomic indicators are on the national level, but you will notice that here we move into the subnational level, which is quite exciting. So you see either governor rate or subnational regional level information on child stunting in the region at different points in time. So you see always the latest estimates. And why does this matter? You, for example, you look at countries like Sudan or actually any country, there's a huge variation within countries, and for any policy making, for any intervention, that hugely matters. And this kind of tool, if the data is available, is certainly useful for policy targeting and so on. But without further ado, let's jump to the next exciting feature, the zoom in and zoom out function. So now this is the zoom out function. That's obviously, well, not as exciting as the zoom in function, but it puts things into perspective. So let's go to the zoom in function. Here's my question to you. What do we see on this map? Yes, I give you a little hint. On your left side in the bar on your selection, you see what has been selected in the atlas, and it says dams, hydropower. And you will notice at the end of that lake, you see two green dots, which are the dams. So if we keep clicking on those dots, we keep zooming in, and we get closer and closer, and we see the Aswan High Dam in Egypt. And we can do that with any variable in this tool. So if we see, you know, a grain storage facility in Saudi Arabia, we can actually see a picture of that. We haven't quite figured out how to show how much grain is left in that in that silo, but we're getting there as well. And, you know, there are the roads. How does the road look like? Or how does this irrigation channel that you see on the map actually looks like? So that's the zoom in. Now let's get to another feature, which is the time slider. And as I said, all of these things can be done with most of the variables. Here we see a Sudan and the conflict intensity in Sudan. And I'll just show you how this has changed over the past 10 years. So the data you see here is from 2000, and I'll just keep clicking, and you'll see how things change over time until we get to the year 2010. So you see there's quite some shift. There's more or less between north and south. There's more or less, depending on the year, going on in Darfur. Now let's move on to yet another feature. Of course, there's always the possibility to describe and to see the legends. And what you see here is actually a pixel level data. So we saw national level data, we saw subnational, regional, governor rate data. This is pixel level data, where you for each pixel see what is going on. This is an example from the agricultural section of the tool. This is crop value added per hectare in dollars. And of course you see in places like the along the Nile and the Nile Delta, you get the highest crop value per hectare, whereas in the dry areas, of course, it's less. Now, it gets much more exciting than that, of course, because not only can we display one indicator, we can actually display as many as we want, as long as, you know, it doesn't get too crowded. I want to give you an example, and that example also shows how you can actually learn from this tool. When I did this map yesterday, I learned something. And I learned basically that Saudi Arabia, the people there, they seem to be very smart and forward-thinking. Why? Okay, so here you see, again in the legend, we are mapping now three indicators, namely a grain storage facilities, ports, and airports. And you see where they are, and you could zoom in again and all of that, but that's not the point of this slide. The point of this slide is that I noticed that next to every grain storage facility in Saudi Arabia, there's an airport, which is probably a smart way to do if you want to move your grain quickly around the country. And yeah, again, that's just a functional thing. To your left, you always see which maps you are actually displaying. You can play around with the brightness of the map and so on. So let's move on to the layer names. There's a data description, data source, and nodes, and so on for every map. And as you also notice, you can vary the background of any map as you like. Here we basically see the distribution of small ruminant animals throughout the Arab world, and the darker, the denser. And again, these are a couple of examples to just show you. In total, there are 150 different variables in there for now. There are about 50 on the national level, then about 50 on the subnational level, and then the rest is like this pixel level information that you have seen. Now, so what are some of the data sources so far? So far, it's mostly just, you know, taking what's out there. WDI data bank is one of them. IMF for all the macro stuff. WHO is for nutrition, health, and so on subnational level. Then FAO, NASA, CGIAR, IFPRI, and a couple of others. So what are the next steps for this initiative? So as I said, this was the first preview. We are working very hard with the developers and everybody. So the plan is to put this tool, as you saw it, live online. There's a domain called www.arabspatial.org where you will be able to look at this initiative. Then we are planning a couple of launches on the internet, but then also in the region. And then, of course, as you have seen, and I hope you are as excited as I am, this is, I think, has a huge potential to address some of these issues that we have heard about in terms of data quality and data access. Imagine if this tool and this platform gets more populated from data from international, regional, but also country-level information, we can really create a very, very rich, not only database, but also a tool. So there's huge potential for growth. So the idea is to add more data in collaboration with countries and our other international organizations, adding analytical tools as well, going beyond the multi-layer mapping kind of experience, and then also expand the network of contributing organizations. I'll leave it at that, and thank you very much for your attention.